Now, a fascinating story for you now on the morning show here on BBC Somerset, because Angela Pitt is sitting right opposite me and she's swapping Montacute for South America next month to work on a conservation project in the Amazon. How exciting. She retired as a teacher 8 years ago and has been travelling and volunteering ever since, setting up an English curriculum at a school in Nepal and working with giant pandas in China, amongst other things. And she's with us now on BBC Somerset. Hello.
Good morning.
My life is so boring in comparison. What's so wrong then with going on a cruise, Angela?
Oh, a cruise. A floating entertainment building. No trees, no grass. No, not for me. Not for me.
Are you our own version of David Attenborough?
That's a lovely thought. I'll think about that one.
Tell us about Peru. What are you going to be doing when you're there?
Well, first of all, we'll be just getting to this place. I've got to fly over the Andes and probably looking down on Machu Picchu and then into the rainforest, stopping off for a little bit in a town and then up the river by ferry for about an hour and then to Tarakaya Reserve. And that reserve has research being done on animals. It also has a pilot farm for local people, and it does work on the river.
And who are you going to be working with? Who's going to be alongside you?
Well, this project, which is Projects Abroad, was set up originally for GAP students, so I think there'll be quite a lot of young people. But of course, once the oldest or the older amongst us found out about it, a lot of us wanted to go as well. So I really don't know. There could be up to 20 volunteers, and they've got 10 staff there.
And volunteers from the UK or from all around the world?
From all over the place.
How fascinating. Yeah. What a lovely prospect.
Yeah, great.
And that's also part of the adventure, isn't it? Not knowing who you're going to be alongside.
Well, you know that they're going to we're all going to have a common interest. We're all there for the animals. We're all there because we want to have the chance, the amazing chance, to be in the Amazon rainforest. Just can't wait.
Why do you think you're the perfect person for this? What sort of qualifications have you got to do this?
I suppose I didn't look at it that way around as a perfect person. In some ways, I've got no qualifications at all, except I'm very lucky. I mean, I'm 64 and I've got reasonable health. And I'm lucky in that way, and I've just got the freedom now to do things and visit places, but also to help, if possible, when I do travel.
Yes.
So in terms of being, I wouldn't say a perfect person, but I hope that I can adapt quickly and help and do something useful and, of course, see the Amazon.
Yes, absolutely. It's no slippers and daytime TV for you.
No, I don't think I'll bother with the
ever,
slippers.
ever, by the sound of it. Has anybody ever told you that you're an inspirational character?
No, I don't know about inspiration. People are often interested.
Because you now want... I mean, before today, I never thought about going to Peru and helping out on a conservation
project. And you're going
now. But now, I'm thinking, this sounds fantastic.
Yeah, well, you could go.
It is infectious, isn't it?
You could go. I gather from Projects Abroad, they've had Ross Kemp on this very thing. So, I mean, all kinds of people.
Well, there's hope for us all, isn't there,
yeah,
really?
There
yeah.
you are, Vernon.
There we are.
You're the next celebrity.
Tell me about the accommodation that you're going to live in, because I can't imagine it will be too comfortable and palatial.
I think for me it'll be absolutely fantastic. They have a main lodge which is thatched, I mean jungle thatched and made of wood, but inside they've got, I think they've got about 10 rooms for volunteers. We're excuse me, either sharing in a double or in a four, and each of these has either access to a bathroom, which is a shower and all those things, and loo and so on, but a proper loo, not just a hole, and properly mosquito netted. I've actually bought rather a lot of mosquito shirts and they smell terrible, so I don't know that I'm going to make many friends, but I hope the mosquitoes keep off.
Now, this isn't a shirt made of mosquitoes. It's presumably got anti-malaria all over
it,
is it?
Yes, it has.
Yeah, I can imagine that wouldn't whiff very,
well,
very
it's
nicely.
Got a good whiff. It's got a bad whiff for those little pests, yes.
I mean, obviously, malaria is obviously something that you need to be aware of. What other risks are there? What other creepy crawlies are there?
Well, there are snakes. There are some dangerous snakes. There's a thing called, I think it's a snail-eating snake, actually, but it might have a chomp on us. There's the caiman, which is a kind of alligator. And I gather one of the jobs I might be asked to do is to go out on a boat on on the river and help to catch them. I'm not too sure about that, but I'd love to see it. I mean, what they do is...
Well, how do you feel about that?
About what?
About the idea of going out onto the river and trying to catch them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm asked to do it, they've got responsible staff. They don't want to endanger any volunteer. It's not messing about. The reason everybody's doing this is to help sustain the environment and, if possible, to show local people you don't have to chop down trees in order to make money and have the loggers in. And it's also rescuing animals. Some people in the nearest town have taken wild animals and made them into pets and then got tired of them. And so there's a rescue scheme as well, even things like jaguars. So, you know, amazing. Might see an ocelot.
Wow.
Anteaters.
Yes. Will you be allowed to I don't know how sort of conservationists feel about seeing a jaguar and going, actually, I must take a picture. Hold on a moment.
Well, I'm certainly taking my camera. Yeah. I love photography and I do quite a lot of it. But, I mean, you know, you work within the bounds of where you're going. I'll do exactly what I'm told.
And the job comes first.
Well, yes. Mm. I mean, that's why I'm going. That's why I'm going. They have in that place the biggest, or perhaps it's the longest, canopy walk in South America. And the one slight downer for me, because I'm very much a night owl, I like getting up late, working late, but I'm going to have to be up 3 days a week at 5:15 in the morning, oh my God, and then out, up on the canopy and collecting data, really, observing birds and animals, because they tend to get up a lot earlier than we do. But just think, you know, you'll hear the birds starting to sing.
Well, the dawn chorus in Somerset at this time of year is amazing. Can you imagine what it's like there in Peru?
I can hardly imagine, but I'm just longing to hear it. And there'll be the fresh smell of the jungle and, you know, all of that really early in the morning. So, well, 5:15 for a month, what the hell, I don't mind.
I've got the perfect plan for you, Angela.
Okay.
Don't bother going to bed.
Well, there's a thought.
That's the way to do it.
I guess I'll try that.
Now, you've done a lot of volunteering since you retired, as we said.
I've done a bit, yes.
Yes, you retired as a teacher 8 years ago. So tell us the sort of things that you've done that might help you when you go to Peru.
Well, one thing I've found is certain practicalities of things that you realise when you're there that you need. I mean, just little things. For example, I always take a nail brush. It's just something, it's really good, and it's often quite messy for some reason when you go abroad, and it's really good to have clean hands, and also, if necessary, you can clean your boots. So a nail brush, that little thing is really good. And a friend of mine who travels a lot said, take one thing that is really a pleasure, a treat for you. And some women take, you know, little nail varnish or lipstick. For me, what I take is a good perfume. That's my one little treat. So sometimes in the day, you know, when you've had a shower and so on, it's just nice to have that little moment. So those practical things, which I know from experience.
And presumably will keep you going if you begin to feel a bit homesick as well, because it's a little comfort.
Yes, I suppose so. This reminds me of who I am. Yes, I suppose it does take me back to my Somerset house.
Yeah.
And I suppose I'm pretty adaptable. I know that whenever you go somewhere new, you know, you're going to have a little time to adjust and people to adjust to you. And I'm ready for that. So I'm used to travelling. And as I said before, thank God, I've got fairly good health. So that's the big bonus.
Mm. Back in the 90s, I went backpacking for the
for a
long time, for the best part of a year, in all sorts of places in South America and Thailand and places like that. And I found, you're going to laugh at this, I found the most important thing to take with me was Swiss Army knife.
Ah, yes.
Particularly the corkscrew.
Yes. Well, I think I'm past those student days now. But yes, you're quite right. I always take one. Though, mind you, it's difficult on the plane now. You've got to remember to put it in a hold luggage.
That's the other thing. Times have changed, haven't they?
Yeah,
now?
They have.
So
you've got to
be careful. And interestingly enough, of course, the Swiss Army knife I had in those days had a little attachment that you could use to clean under your nails.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, they had dirtier people than I used to.
The other thing is, I wasn't in my youth then. That was the thing, is that I was traveling, and there were so many people who were 20 years younger than me, more in some cases. But then in Australia, I met a traveller who was in his 70s, who was about 75, and had decided, actually, I need to start, you know, seeing the world because time is short. So it's for everybody.
Yes, there is that aspect. Yeah. I mean, for me, I loved the teaching. And when I retired, I just sensed, though, that I had that freedom. You know, you have that freedom to do something, and you have the time. You don't not restricted by school terms. So I went off and did what I could.
What do your friends and family and neighbours make of you?
Well, I hope they quite like me. No, I'm close to my family. I have a brother and two nephews, and I'm very close to them. And with my neighbours.
They're proud of you and your adventures.
I think my family are, yes. I think some of my neighbours wonder what on earth I'm doing. But
and some people call it a wanderlust, and others say it's just itchy feet. Have you always had itchy feet?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I've always been just excited by all sorts of things. I mean, it can be something quite local, it can be something in my own garden, but you know, there are certain chances that come up. As you know, I worked with the giant pandas in China, and when that chance came up, I mean, God, you have to go, don't you? And this was another one.
And we talk about working with giant pandas in China. It makes it sound like, you know, you're under the bonnet of a car and you turn to the panda and say, pass the wrench. But actually, you were sort of helping conserve.
Yes, I was.
Yes. And for how long were you in close proximity to those gorgeous creatures?
I was at a reserve called Luguantai, which is in central China, and I was there for about 3 weeks. And I was looking after a big male panda called Mr. Ding Ding. And I did just what one would think of as fairly menial task, but it was such a privilege to be with those animals all the time. We had six adults and one baby. And with Mr. Ding Ding, I'd get up, feed him bamboo, clean out his cage, come back, feed him again. They'd like hot milk, you know.
Do they?
Yes. And used to give him that. But no, it was just so incredible. Every time I went there, which was often during the day, I could hardly believe that I'm looking, I'm not only looking at, but actually for a short privileged time in charge of that giant panda. And I think with Terrakaya, it'll be a similar thing, because I'll see animals and be helping animals that I wouldn't ever have the chance to see. And there are things that they have armadillos there, and I've never seen one. I don't think I've even seen one in a zoo.
They're like Mother Nature's tank, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
This incredible armour on their back.
Yeah, that's right. Amazing things. It's very, well, they seem very primitive.
I'm told they're related to woodlice.
Are they? Yes, they look a bit like a big
woodlice. Yes, they're like a big, big woodlice.
It's like they've got capybara, those things like giant guinea pigs.
This is turning into wildlife on one all of a sudden. I didn't mean it to at all. When do you actually go? When do you leave?
I go in mid-June. I think it's the 14th.
So presumably you're watching developments with volcanic ash clouds with great attention.
Sort of, yes. A bit of prayer.
Yeah. And what would your message be then to anybody else who hasn't volunteered or hasn't travelled because of whatever reason they think it's not for them, or they might worry about getting homesick? What would you say to them if they're listening to BBC Somerset today?
If you're worried about getting homesick, go somewhere that's not too far, I think, from home, because you'll be okay. But just the fact that you know, if you're desperate, you can actually get back there, and you probably won't want to, so that would be the first thing. But anyone can volunteer, any age. It's not just young people about to go to university. It's those of us who are in our 60s or 70s.
Or 80s,
yeah, indeed. And you can do lots of things. You could do some archaeology, and you don't have to run around. You could be cleaning pot shards. You know, there are lots of things you could do. Think of a place you've always wanted to go and think, well, it would be much better to go there and actually work a bit with local people, relax more because you're in one place, learn about the place.
And would CSO, Community Service Overseas, be the best place to go?
That would be a good start.
Yep.
Because now we've got the wonderful web, you could put in where you want to go, how long you want to go, and see what comes up. VSO is another one. They do things for older people. Don't think just because you're over 60 that everything's sort of ended and you just end up creeping around the garden. Nice though that can be sometimes, but you can do it. You can really do it. You just have to think, where do I want to go? I've got this luck of freedom, but you know, I'm not going to live another 50 years. And these places are changing too. I mean, I went to Iran fairly recently, and the reason I went there, and that I have to say was as a tourist, but because it may not be long before we just can't go there anymore. You've got to go.
You are great. I love having you in, because you're fantastic. You're inspiring us all. That's wonderful. And make sure you pack an extra sleeping bag, because I'm coming with you.
Oh, my goodness. What a privilege.
We'll do it together.
Okay,
Angela, how lovely to see you. Good luck in Peru, and thanks for joining us on BBC Somerset.
Thank you very much.
Listen again to BBC Somerset on the BBC iPlayer.
At bbc.co.uk/Somerset.